Blog Talk Radio.
We brought back the old intro to kind of reminisce, but it's another beautiful Saturday, August 4th. We got a great show lined up for you today. You Up Radio, it's your host, B Free. Let me make sure the crew is in the building. Let's start with the lady of the house, Dr. Nyesha Douglas. Are you up?
I am up. Good morning to everybody. Let's get it started. Long
All
week.
All right.
I got stuff on my mind.
Oh, Lord, let's do it. Let's check. Brother Will McKee in the place to be. You up?
Hey, man, I'm up like skyscrapers and airplanes. Good morning, America. Let's get it done.
Free after all the intros.
we can hear you, brother. You hear Brother D. Brother D, you in the building? You up?
I am in the building. I am in the building. Somebody just mute their mic over there so they can't hear the feedback. But we good, everybody.
All right.
It's been a long week. Let's go.
Well, I'm feeling good, like a radio show host should. Just want to update everybody. We had been plugging the Tony McKee Scholarship Initiative event that was supposed to be hosted up by UUP Radio. There have been some technicalities with the event space. So we'll get some more info about that later, but we just want to update. There's been some technicalities with the event space due to the weather we've had in this area, but we'll send more stuff out via social media. So we've got some interesting topics, and later on in the show, we're going to have our entertainment specialist, Mr. J.C. Polk, on later on in the show. So we got a good show lined up. So we're going to go into our first topic, which is our ladies' first topic, which we're going to hit on.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So the ladies' first topic today, it's a bit scary for all of you single people out there who use dating apps, and all of you single people who are just trying to find alternative ways to meet, which is in today's society, there are different ways that we can meet people and mingle and meet social. But on this particular article or news that I read, this was actually reported by The Shade Room, and this guy who is a dating app serial killer would meet women online, and then they would have dates with them, and then he would kill them. And so the guy's name is Daniel Drayton. Currently he's in police custody after apparently confessing to killing up to 7 women he met online or through dating apps. And the guy they asked him why did he kill those women? And he said that he was just trying to please with the voices in his head. Now, we always talk about mental health and how important it is for you to talk to somebody and maintain a good, healthy mental health. but this has gone to the extreme. And it makes it very uncomfortable and discouraging for women like me who are, well, I'm technically single, but who are out here just trying to meet people and just trying to connect with people. And it's hard to do that when you don't know who's crazy and who's not crazy. When I say crazy, I'm not being dismissive, but in this particular case, the guy has serious issues. And at first I was thinking, oh, I've heard this before, and it's usually a white guy who does it. But apparently this is a black guy, a young black guy. And if you look at him, he looks very approachable. The women, there was one woman that got away, and she said that he was very likable. And, you know, when she met him, she didn't get any type of vibe from him that he was going to hurt her or try to hurt her. So I want to ask the crew. Now, half of us are married, but if you were single, what do you guys think about? Because we talk about the whole dating online thing, and while it's very successful for most people, there are those instances where you can put yourself in a position where you really don't know that person, and that person can potentially harm you. So what are you guys thinking about this? I mean, now, you know, when they label you as a serial killer, like, that's serious. Like, it ain't one or two people, but it was multiple women. And this happened, in New York, the Bronx. He would go to the Bronx, Queens, all the boroughs, and he would meet different women. So what do you guys think about this? I mean, I'm going to start with William. What do you guys think about that?
We got the media star JT Polk coming on later. He's going to talk about some aspects with social media. So, and it made me think about that because it's this whole thing of social media didn't start any of this stuff,
right. But
it may exacerbate it, and it may add another layer of anonymity to an online meeting. I mean, in years past, you would meet somebody at the mall or call them on the phone or what have you. Now you have people hiding behind technology. So it adds another layer of mystery. And for even cowardice, you know, there was one rapper recently that said, I think it was the rapper out of Memphis that just did a song with Cardi B, who talked about, you know, you're a thug on email and Twitter or whatever, because you can hide behind that wall. So,
Careful
out here. Gotta be careful out here.
You gotta be careful. I mean, it has me. Well, here's the thing. Like you said before, this isn't anything new. And so, what my spiritual mentor used to always say, you have to have a spirit of discernment. Like, you have to be open, and a lot of times you can feel when somebody's intentions are negative towards you. And so you just have to be aware and ask a lot of questions. As women, you know, that's why we ask a lot of questions on dates. I know for me, I try to get to know that person, their background, or, you know, how did you treat your parents? How did your parents treat you? You know what? That's why we ask a lot of questions, and we get flack for that. For asking too many questions on the first date. But, you know, it's always a safety concern with us. We always trying to make sure that we don't get involved in a situation where we could potentially be hurt or potentially be harmed in any way. And we always, I know I'm always playing defense anytime I go somewhere. And that's just the type of world that we live in. I'm always on the defensive. And it's not that I don't trust anybody. It's just, I don't trust anybody. If that makes sense. It's not that I don't want to. I don't trust too many people, because we're living in a day and time where a lot of people are not handling their problems in a way where they can actually understand who they are. Like, they just get angry and they want to lash out, and, you know, we have so many different we have so many different people who use social media as an avenue to vent. And so I'm not saying that you, I'm not telling people you shouldn't do that, but there are other alternative ways that help you. And, you know, it's very hard. Like, Ben, what do you think about this whole serial dating, killer dating thing?
Well, I'm going to say it from two perspectives. Number one, I know several couples that have made it and gone on to beautiful marriages that utilize these tools. But myself, I'm more of a fan of the more conventional waiting. I'm one that believes in, you know, the song used to go, "We were friends before we were lovers." And I'm more a lot of the conventional, like, I feel like,
but some people just don't
want to
be friends, Ben. Some people just don't want to be friends. Some people just want to just have their little fun.
Exactly. But I ain't even talking about that type of friend. Like, I'm talking about, like, I look at, like, my wife. Like, I've known her since back in the day. Like, we were friends before we even went there. Because I feel like if you know people, there's a genuine trust for that person's interest. Like, I'm not generally just based on our friendship before we took it there. I'm not just going to do you any type of way or cause. And I'm more in that conventional frame. Like, I think we're so quick nowadays too to rush into things, get physical, get things. I think that harms relationships in general. But as far as online, I mean, I don't knock it. I just think that you have to really investigate the tool you're using as far as which site, the credibility in that. And I think we just have to do a little more homework on what sites we're using as well as who we're meeting up in that regard.
Now, what I think was very disturbing about the whole thing, well, first of all, this guy is very young. He is mid to early 20s, and so you said that, you know, we rush into relationships or rush to get physical real quick. But I mean, at that age, if y'all could think about how you were and your thought process in your early 20s as far as meeting women, and I know y'all are different because I've known y'all for like years.
Well, it's very different too because we didn't have the social media craze like it is now when we were in our early 20s. Like, you know, so it's different.
But
so
as
I
far
get
as
that.
Like meet people and get physical with people like early, like, have you ever experienced, well, I'm just going to, you know, we cool, we'll kick it every now and then, and, you know, even if you just met that person, like, I mean, I'm just saying, like thinking in your early 20s of meeting people. Go ahead.
I'll answer that since everybody seems to be fearful. Sorry about that. So since everybody seems to be fearful of it, I'll answer that question. You know, is when it comes to so for one, yeah, it's kind of, I've always had the taking it easy kind of approach, and for me,
somebody needs to leave their mic.
But for me, it's more of a slow approach, let it kind of happen naturally for me. So whatever we start doing is that, and how you start doesn't necessarily mean it's how you finish. So personally, when I look at online dating, and in the words of Forrest Gump, you know, online dating is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And it's primarily because, or it's like shopping on Amazon. It looks good online, but when it gets to you sometimes, not necessarily what it is that you thought it would be. And you have to take that chance if that's the route for which you take. But I think a lot of people take that route because we live in an age now where they want to get it now and they want to make it as easy as possible. And a lot of it is just it being easy. The other part of it, I believe, is not only is it easier to find someone online, some people get a rush just simply from the idea of meeting someone for the first time that they haven't ever seen. And as people get that same rush when they order on Amazon, that's the reason why you saw things like Amazon take off the way that it did, and people get hooked by it because they have this excitement of waiting for the item to get to them, and then there's a certain level of excitement to it. So I think there are a few things in particular that you can look at there, but you do have to be careful, fearful of the dangers of it, because you really don't know if the person you're going to meet is the person that you clicked on online. And if you don't believe that, there's a whole show about it called Catfish. So the fact that it still happens is probably the most shocking thing to me, because catfish exist exactly for the same reason.
Well, on that note, for that exact reason, we got to take a break. So we're going to take a brief break. Super producer, cue us up. You Up Radio. We'll be back. If it wasn't for Tony, that used to be my jam. Shout out to Shalon's Nose. So, You Up Radio, catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, all that stuff. You Up Radio. We're back. So, in this segment, a thing that's been dominating the media sources, social media, mainstream media, is the fact that LeBron James, love him or hate him, has now opened his school. And right now he's housing elementary school students, but hopes to expand it to, I think, eighth grade. But how big is this? Number one, as just him doing this type of thing in his community. But number two, is it setting a new standard for entertainers, athletes? Let me start with Doc. Doc, I'm going to shoot it to you. Talk to me about your thoughts on LeBron opening this new school. You up.
First of all, kudos to LeBron. Like, if everybody can give him a hand for taking that step to open up a school. Shout out to LeBron James. What makes this even – so to answer your question, for one, I think it does set the standard for – athletes to step their game up when it comes to the social issues, because we know that we're not getting enough funding for schools in any state in the United States. So kudos to LeBron for stepping up and actually creating the school. He didn't just create the school. It's not a charter school. It's a public school. And so he got together with the Board of Education in Akron, Ohio, and they were able to come together and it took, I think he said it took 10 years for him to actually get the funding through his foundation together and get all the logistics of opening up a public school and making it a public school again and not a charter school. So I'm very proud of him for that. And this particular school is only for those kids who are behind in reading level and grade level as far as like their reading and math level. And so I'm very excited about that, because he's targeting those at-risk kids who otherwise would be left behind. And so it's almost like he opened it up an alternative school. You know what I mean? Like, so it's more he's targeting certain groups of kids who he's just trying to get them back on track. And so I'm very proud of him for that.
That's awesome. McKee, your thoughts, LeBron, humanitarian. Talk to me, philanthropist. Talk to me.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. I think he's pivoting into the next phase of his life. And, you know, with the money that he has, he's poised to be this a global ambassador of goodwill and of philanthropy. And I think taking this step, making this statement will take, like they say in church, every round goes higher and higher. And now his peers will feel compelled to do similar efforts. And, you know, one of the knocks on professional athletes, even though many of them do great work in the community, is people always thought they could do a little more.
Right.
So maybe with LeBron taking this step, focusing on at-risk youth, as Doc said, maybe there'll be some peer pressure on others to do so. I just would also like to say that I think with his teamwork with Magic Johnson, now being a L.A. Laker, Magic Johnson is really become a prototype or a blueprint on how professional athletes can take their earnings and multiply that towards entrepreneurship, industry, corporate America, and do more philanthropy because you have more when you have a strategic plan like that. So I think his move to Los Angeles is going to reach far beyond the basketball court. He's going to be able to partner with a man that took his earnings and invested into Starbucks and movie theaters. And with a philanthropic mind for community and uplift, there's no telling what LeBron will do once it's all said and done.
True.
Right.
And that's powerful. And that's building the equity in that community. Think about
that community,
Because now people are going, I think it's going to inspire folks to invest even more back into that community because now you're setting a standard. Our kids are getting a better education. They have something to look forward to. It may increase employment in that area by those that will get hired to work at the school as far as the other jobs that might be non-teaching, as well as businesses. They might say, well, hey, LeBron is doing that. Let's do that. Before I swing it, let me throw something else out there. Hold on, Brother D. I saw a post one of my friends put on Facebook about ranking LeBron, and he said whether you like him on the court, anything, you have to applaud off the court. But he actually ranked LeBron number two behind Muhammad Ali. Brother D, I'm going to ask you, like, as far as – because there's been many – well, let me go to Nye first. As far as ranking LeBron, where do you put him as far as, and I guess we're talking particular African-American athletes, where does this rank him among those through history as far as their work and giving back? Go ahead, you up.
I don't know if I can rank him. I think we have a problem with always putting numbers on people, who does the best and who does that, because Muhammad Ali was in a different time. You know, he was doing the civil rights movement. And so while he did great work doing the civil rights movement, I don't think it's fair to compare the same achievements and accomplishments that LeBron has done in this particular era. Mm-hmm. And so I don't technically want to rate him, but I do want to say that I am very impressed by LeBron. I mean, I don't keep up with basketball as much as I used to. And when people always have the LeBron and Jordan debate, I'm always like Team Jordan because that was my era, the 90s. But as far as like philanthropy, like LeBron has surpassed Michael Jordan with his philanthropy. Like this school has set him up to be one of the most influential athletes of our time. And so he has made this move. So I don't think it's fair to rank him.
I agree with that. Let me jump in real quick. I'm sorry to Kanye, but interesting you brought up MJ, because MJ recently had just donated some money to put some medical systems in more impoverished areas or lower social. I mean, he's done a couple things lately. I think he put $7 million into that project. But do you think with all the and I'm going to send this to McKee. McKee, do you think with LeBron doing this, he's set a standard and now we are going to see a lot of other ambassadors?
Before you say something, but I'm sorry, William. I don't want to Kanye you too. Like,
come on, Kanye.
Me. But I wanted to say this, like, what's good about LeBron is LeBron is hands-on. Like, it's one thing to just donate money, and that's what athletes have done for the past couple of years. They donate money to different organizations or they create foundations in which they hand the bill off to somebody that they hire, and they do the work in the community. LeBron has been hands-on with this particular school and very intentional and very strategic behind this plan. And so,
yeah,
not knocking what Michael Jordan has done. Michael Jordan has made billions of dollars off of selling $300 sneakers to kids in the hood who don't have the money to pay for these sneakers. And so did he have an impact on our community? Of course he did, because we definitely helped him make Jordan that popular shoe to have. But also with all that money that our kids and some of these people on this panel, went on this radio station, have put into Michael Jordan, you know, where are the schools in Wilmington, North Carolina, or where are the schools in Chapel Hill, or where are the schools in Durham County? Like, come on,
yeah, we have that. We don't buy. I think I bought two pair of Jordans my entire life.
I was gonna say, me too. Like,
I've never.
But y'all bought them.
Jordans.
What you talking about, that? Ain't nobody got no Jordans on this show.
I'm just saying, honestly, I never bought them.
Don't matter.
No, but I feel you. But, I mean, just, I'm going to let my kid, Brother D, y'all can chime in how you feel. But, I mean, I get it being active. But, I mean, Mike has donated $9 million recently, $7 million for the health clinics.
Recently, though, how long has Michael Jordan been out?
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm not knocking that. I've been critical of that, too. But what I'm saying is, do you think that this has started because of what LeBron is doing? Has he set a new tone? And that's why I was talking to McKee. Like, do you think this is going to start a trend with those? Because I'm thinking Mike's like, whoa, LeBron, you know, this is the guy I'm compared to. He's doing so much in the community. I've caught flack. Now I got to step up and do it. Do you think that pressure is on him, and do you think more will feel that need to do something? McKee, D, chime in.
Go ahead, D. You've been on the
week. Oh, well, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
D.
Yeah, go ahead, D.
So Michael Jordan, in his defense slightly, has done some philanthropic things, but it's been quiet. Michael Jordan was famously known for saying that white kids wear Jordan 2. So he wanted to keep his name out of the political framework of the media, which I kind of understand it a little bit. But what it also meant was that while he was fearless on the basketball court, he had no backbone in terms of PR and public perception. And that's probably when you talk about the off the court stuff, that's one of the weaknesses of Michael Jordan. And he's done things more quietly than most people are aware of. This was probably one of the more open things. But in terms of what he has done, I mean, now you're right, it's not enough. He doesn't look back at his community the same way that LeBron James does. And it fundamentally speaks to a couple of things realistically when you think about it. And you talk about Michael Jordan growing up and his competitive fervor on the basketball court. Well, Michael Jordan wasn't an at-risk kid. Michael Jordan was given a full-ride scholarship to UNC. LeBron James, however, was an at-risk kid. He wasn't, well, he could have gotten a full scholarship to any college if he wanted to go, but he took that full ride to the NBA. And you can't hate him for that, but there are fundamental differences in their history and their background that separate them. And this means a lot more to LeBron than it does to Michael Jordan. And what that says to me is that certain areas of our community, meaning the black community, there are certain people within our community that become out of touch with other parts of that community. LeBron James, people like LeBron James and Muhammad Ali weren't those people. They weren't out of touch with what our community is. Chris Paul's not out of touch. Chris Paul's a former teammate of my brother, so I know his family a little bit. They're not out of touch with what it means in community, and it doesn't surprise me to see Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade take the stances beside LeBron that they take, because they come from very similar backgrounds, not necessarily exactly. Chris Paul's from a two-family household, but not, maybe not like Michael Jordan, so to speak. I won't speak on that because I don't know. But they're very different, and fundamentally you can see what matters more to LeBron and what matters more to Michael Jordan. Should Michael Jordan catch some slack for that? Absolutely, because I know he has marketing teams, and I know his marketing teams have been able to express what demographic to target, so he understands that demographic, and should he give back based on what he knows? Absolutely. But I think the out-of-touchness has to do with the way that they're brought up and how they may view things from their perspective. And you can't knock Michael Jordan for his perspective, but you can knock him for his awareness, which he obviously lacks.
Well, I'm going to hold that thought. McKee, hold that thought. Super Dude, let's take a quick break. We're going to let McKee, if you got something, I'll let you get that. And then we'll go into the next segment with Brother J.C. Pope, our entertainment analyst, specialist, guru, have you. Let's take a break. You up, radio.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here and the microphones, and they want to know. Oh, oh, oh. If you are what you say, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd is here, and the lights are on, and they wanna show.
I am what I say I am. But Brother McKee, did you have anything real quick that you wanted to respond to that before we bring Brother Casey Polk on?
Yeah, since I got Kanye, I guess I'll just say this.
I'm sorry.
I want to hear from the media star segment with J.P. Polk. But I just wanted to say that hats off to LeBron, hats off to Michael Jordan. Like D said, they come from different backgrounds, and everybody wants to put black folk in the same boat. And
right.
we came on similar boats, but you know, we got here, had different experiences, and Nike is pretty much in the driver's seat with an Air Jordan, with anything Jordan. So people act like Mike went to Seattle or Portland, wherever Nike is, and devised all of that. That, you know, how he played it, you could debate, but he's done things quietly. And the Air Jordan shoe was a Nike creation. And you know, sometimes we need to do more covering than we do exposing. And because I don't do it your way, that doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong. I'm just doing it differently. And sometimes it ain't who's doing it the best. It's that we all doing something. That's all I'll say. JC,
well, McKee,
let's get it going.
Stay
yeah,
on the mic, and I need you to break. Huh? Go ahead, D.
Yeah, we'll. Yeah, I wanted just real quick, let's judge him on his awareness, not his perception. Those are two very different things, and they get crossed a lot.
They do.
And Michael Jordan's perception of things are different. His awareness can be different, and Michael Jordan needs to understand that too.
Well,
no doubt.
Let me say this too quick. I'm sorry.
Come on, Jay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just want to say that I'm not knocking anything that Michael Jordan has done, and I'm not saying anything ill will towards him, because we really actually don't know everything that he has done. He could have done some things under the skies of somebody else just to keep his name out of the media, or just keep his, you know, his image out of the media. But I do want to say, I guess for me, I relate to LeBron more than I do Michael Jordan. Because my background to LeBron is a little bit, my background is similar to LeBron versus Michael Jordan. And so I just have an affinity towards LeBron because of the issues that I feel like are necessary, that need to be tackled and need to be addressed. And so I just want to say that. So, I mean, I like
him. And I'm with that too.
I'm saying.
I'm with, I'm with that too. And but I just think if we took the verses out of that, sometimes it would be
right.
different. Like both, you said that even in your commentary. Both and
right.
instead of either or sometimes. Like, yeah.
Well, McKee, I want you to introduce our analyst. Bring him in, and we may can even ask him what he thinks at this time. Go ahead, Brother McKee.
All the way from San Diego, California, with KPBS, we have today. And this is our Media Star segment. And Media Star says, look, this is our attempt at U Up Radio to delve deeper into the media and the mediums that we use every day. Every day you're in a store, somebody's on a cell phone, a laptop, PDA, or something. We live through the media. So we thought it best to bring on one of the industry experts. And we have Mr. J.C. Pope, who has cut his teeth and made a name for himself in UNC TV, KPBS San Diego. He's an HBCU grad. He's an innovator. He's an excavator. J.C., how you doing today, brother?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not JT. I was just holding on to make a comment. But if you owe him some money, I can be him.
Oh, no. We don't owe him any money.
I was reading the three subjects, three topics you was talking about. And I was going to make a short comment on all those whenever I had a chance, but look like you guys have some other platform.
Go ahead.
First of all, on the dating, you should know who your daughters are dating. I mean, you should do background checks on those people.
Hold on, before you go any further, introduce yourself, because we thought you were on the line as J.C. Pope, and you're not, so introduce yourself to the crew and then make your comment.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
my name is Pianchi. I'm calling from the Midwest.
All right.
Okay.
Shout out to the Midwest. Right,
thank you for listening.
Thank you.
You were in St. Louis?
Yes, in St. Louis and down as far down as Baton Rouge, too. But let me make some comments and kind of give us a little help, a little opposing view on your to your panel, which is good. But when you were making mention about the dating, and it can be dangerous. That's why you should know who your children are dating, whether it's your son or your daughter, especially your daughter. Even to the point of doing background checks before you allow them to get married to some of these people, because you don't know what you are getting involved in. And in many cases, we see that daughter will come back carrying trash bags full of clothes and dragging kids back to the house. Now you got to deal with that problem. You were making comments on LeBron James. I applaud him for what he do. But also, like the lady said, that's a public school. People misconstrue and say it's his school. It's a public school, and anybody can sponsor programs in public schools. They are happening. You know, in the St. Louis area, you have the Danforths that built a City Academy. Loyola Academy is built by the Jesuits to feed Cardinal Ritter, which is another prep school by the Jesuits, and also Trinity School. Now, here's the thing with LeBron James School and any of these schools. Are the people in the community going to volunteer to help tutor the children? Because that's what they need. They need someone to come in and help them to be tutored.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter if it's LeBron James school or whoever school. That is not going on. And I think that school districts should allocate a budget that can pay retirees where they can come in, spend a couple hours, and get paid for it. We're not talking about a lot of money. It would help supplement their income. And I see where you're getting ready to go into – black pastors with Trump. Now, I was a Trump supporter, and I voted for him. And I did so because of the issues, like we talked about earlier, the tax reform, which allow people who's going to do charitable deductions, or should I say charitable giving, like LeBron James is doing with his school, they can receive a blunt of their credit up early rather than trying to spread it out over years. So that's going to help. But, immigration reform, you got tax reform, you got all of the corporations that's opening up in the United States because of the tax reform and also tariffs. And I think that's doing very good. The 529, where you can use that college saving plan early, as early as kindergarten, elementary school. You don't have to wait till college. I think I'm also a proponent for a school choice where parents can put their children in the education environment that's best for them, which includes homeschooling, also charter schools, private schools. Look at all the different types of charter schools that's designed for specific things. You got aviation charter school. You got emergency medical services charter school. You even got a basketball charter school in New York and a couple of baseball charter schools down in Florida. And so that's what I wanted to add.
Oh, we, that's right, good. We appreciate that. And I'm glad you brought that. Brother D, I'm going to let you get at it. Going right into it, since he brought up the subject of the black pastors that met with Trump Wednesday, do they get scrutiny? And that's a valid point. I'm glad we're getting some insight from someone who is a Trump supporter. Whether you're not,
absolutely,
is the scrutiny that individuals get because they go meet with the president, is it deserved or not? And I know we had a discussion. I had one individual with Brother D as well as Brother McKee. And here's my take. You can't sit and complain about something, and then when people are trying to go be like, no, you can't go talk with the person. You know, because we are ones who claim, well, you know what I'm saying, if I got a problem with you, I'm going to come say it to your face. But then we don't want to do this with the president. I think, but granted, I'm going to try to see it from both sides. Because I think a lot of people feel like when we do this, it's giving the president, his administration, a photo op to say, see, look, I'm meeting with people of color. I'm trying to do something. But at the same token, and John Gray, one of the pastor that was sitting right beside, had a good interview with Don Lemon where he said, you know, I was led by it. I was there to talk about the issue. I had apprehensions, but, you know, I felt led to be there to talk about this point. And he said, if I felt we could stay on a focus and a point, he said, I would meet again. And I agree with that perspective from, you know, if you have things that you want to do and see done, you have to go to these leaders. Like I always talk about local politics affect us. You have to go to these leaders and tell them, look, these are the issues. This is what we want to see done. Some people are like, well, you could have video called. You could have wrote. Your thoughts on the scrutiny, D. Go ahead. Lift up because I know you had some powerful thoughts on certain individuals too.
So when we look at the scrutiny, we have to look at it. You have to be able to compartmentalize these issues because a lot of the scrutiny comes from, best way to put it, personal feelings, and you have to take the emotions out of it. A lot of the scrutiny comes from emotion, but sometimes within that emotion, that scrutiny is necessary. And for John Gray, for example, not necessarily him, but Daryl Scott, oh my goodness, he deserves all of it because we heard Daryl Scott say that President Trump was the most pro-black president that he's ever seen, and he's 60, and not to mention the Civil Rights Acts that were pushed back in the 60s. He's old enough to remember that. And not to mention some of the things that President Obama did. And we watch Trump take credit for what Obama has done in his administration, when we know it is a carryover into this current administration, which I find interesting. But when you look at the scrutiny, it is, are you there to talk about the issues, or is this a photo op? And it's hard to scrutinize these black pastors necessarily from a distance when you don't know exactly what they were told and how it was told and what they thought they were going to do. Because if you invite me and I think we're going to accomplish something, then I'm likely to go myself, whether I agree with you or not. And you're talking to someone who religiously listens to Fox News, who religiously listens to Rush Limbaugh, And it's not because I agree with them on any point whatsoever. I vehemently disagree with what they say. But when I strip the emotion from it, the only way you can have a conversation is understanding. And at some point, we have to take steps backwards and say, whether I agree or disagree with what they did, I understand why they did it. And that's kind of where we need to stay in terms of the scrutiny, which is the reason why it is. If you're going to scrutinize anybody, let it be Daryl Scott, not necessarily the rest of the black pastors who showed up for the first time really to look at change. And that's something we'll get into later with Daryl Scott. But in particular, when you think about how this was played, you do have to be awareness. And I go back to what I talked about the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James was not necessarily perception more so than it is awareness. When President Trump met with Vladimir Putin, there were no cameras allowed in that meeting. But yet every time he meets with a new blackface, there are cameras everywhere, for which it is obvious of a PR stunt from my perspective that he's trotting black people out to justify that he's there for black people. And Trump has the history, regardless of what you think about Republican, Democrat, liberals and conservatives, regardless of what your feelings are about that, Donald Trump has never been for anybody but Donald Trump. He sunk the USFL through his own selfishness. He sunk his own businesses through his own selfishness. He sunk other small businesses that were working with him in New York. He has a track record of being for nothing but himself. So, and I say this to you, brother, from the Midwest, to say this.
And I want to comment on that too, if you don't mind, when you're done.
Absolutely. Nothing feared me about a John McCain presidency. Nothing feared. I was not fearful of a Mitt Romney presidency. To be honest with you, what people don't know is that Obamacare is the Affordable Care Act, which they had already had implemented in the state of Massachusetts. So it's not very different. That is a Republican idea for people who don't know that. And when you talk to other conservatives, I won't necessarily say Republicans, but when you talk to conservatives and ask them, do they like Obamacare? I mean, this is stuff that's out there now. They tell you they hate it. And he was like, well, how about the Affordable Care Act? Yeah, I'm all for that. It's the same thing, which lets you know that it's not really about policy more than it is cutting your nose to spite your face. Person can't have it. But I'll let you respond to what I just said because I don't want to go too far into a tangent. But we do have to look at the scrutiny a little bit differently and say, all right, should they have been more aware of what this could have turned into and could they have handled it differently? Absolutely. But you don't know what they were told or what they knew or how they felt before they went, and you can't knock anybody for going to try to make change. I'll let you go now.
Well, we have to realize, and I think somebody said earlier, all blacks, quote unquote, is not the same, which is true because they have different ideologies, different perspectives. They come from different background environments and experiences. There are over 15 million black Southern Baptists in this country, 15 million, which those pastors represent a segment of. You got Charles Blake. He represents about 7.5 million Church of God in Christ black people. Then in Memphis, you got 50,000 Church of God in Christ. You got over 3 to 5 million black Catholics and all the rest. So those pastors represent the people of their congregation that put them in those positions. I'm not a Southern Baptist, so I can't comment on what they do as if I'm part of them because I'm not part of them. Another point, if you go and you Google Donald Trump meeting with blacks, you'll see Donald Trump meeting with a whole lot of blacks that don't show up on CNN and Fox News, which, by the way, I don't watch either one of them. So, no, the man is the president of the United States, and you supposed to take advantage of the things that they have coming down the pipe and position yourself where you can do better for your family, your organization, or whatever it may be. And that's the way I think that it should be looked at. Who Donald Trump slept with, Stormy Daniels, that's not my concern because I know a lot of that's a bunch of crap.
We're talking about the multitude of lawsuits that Donald Trump has from not paying people or racial discrimination throughout New York in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yeah,
we're
but,
talking about that. We can,
well, let me make a comment. Let me make a comment on this, please.
Let him finish.
Let me make a comment on this. What he done back in the 80s, I voted for him for his 2016 campaigning from then on. If Donald Trump did, if you had people that worked on his projects and they didn't get paid, then the legal procedure is to file a mechanics lien on those projects. Mm-hmm. That's the legal mm-hmm. procedure to go about doing. So that shouldn't be thrown out into the news. The Constitution allows individual citizens to file bankruptcy. That's a constitutional right. So those aren't the things that we was concerned. As I said before, I'm concerned about the issues. And as far as Obamacare or the Affordable Health Act, it was several things in it that I didn't like. Now, I'm for people that have insurance, but I don't want to have to pay for it. I don't want to be forced to get involved in an insurance program. That's devastating to young people who's just buying a house, who's trying to save for college for their children, and so on and so on and so on. And then all of a sudden they got to pay this $300 or $400 that, you know, young people think they're invincible anyway. And people can't say that poor don't have access, because I know for sure in St. Louis there's all sorts of comprehensive health clinics every place, not every place, but, you know, conveniently located for the disadvantage, where you pay based on a sliding scale. So, and you know, another thing, I have made a living in commercial construction for 4 decades. My workers forego putting money on their check and put it toward their health and benefits. They have what was called the Cadillac plan. Everything is paid for. But through that Affordable Health Act, their benefits was taxed as if they were receiving a gift or receiving another paycheck. That's totally ridiculous. I didn't understand that. And I don't know why white women didn't complain for being taxed when they went to the tanning booth. So
Hold on, we're going to take our last break. And then, McKee, I'm going to let you respond to that.
Hold on. We're going to get it. But I want to thank the brother from the Midwest for bringing that perspective. Because, yeah, we're going to hit this last break and get some other thoughts, though. Go ahead, D.
Yeah, give us just a second.
Back in the days from the boulevard I landed. Back in the days from the boulevard I landed. Back in the days from the back in the days from the back in the back in the back bar. Back bar. Back in the days from the boulevard I landed. We back in the days from the boulevard I landed. Back in the days from the boulevard I landed. We back in the days from the boulevard I landed. Back in the days from the boulevard I landed.
Yeah.
Back in the days from the boulevard.
What up, good?
Back in the days from the boulevard I landed. We used to kick
the once again. I want to thank the brother from the Midwest, St. Louis, for bringing that perspective. And bro, you should do radio, man. He's got a good voice for radio. I was like, okay. We need that perspective. And solid points, and we thank you for listening as well. Before we get out, we're going to try to get some other perspectives real quick. So I'm going to shoot the brother McKee. And Doc, if you want to jump in, we'll go down the line and get some last responses to those thoughts. McKee, you're up, brother.
Hey, and I guess we didn't get JC on, and I hope I gave him the right information. Anyway, apologize for that. First of all, real quick, thank you for the listenership in St. Louis. Nelly, St. Lunatics, stand up. And we love y'all out there. Keep listening.
And you're welcome back anytime. And St. Louis, I spent a couple of days out there a few years back. It is a beautiful city. If you haven't been there, I told people it was one of the blackest cities I've ever seen. And if you haven't been to Sweetie Pies, you're doing yourself a disservice. So thank you for coming.
I was just gonna say real quick, because I know time is at a premium, but I think, you know, only 1 in 7 Americans knew where Iraq was on a map at the height of the Iraqi war. And I just cite So you don't get the kind of sophisticated political analysis that we just heard from the brother from St. Louis on the street. Like we used to say, in England there's a book corner on every store, on a bookstore on every corner. In America there used to be a record store on every corner. So I just will quote Harold Laswell, who said, "Politics is the art of who gets what, when, where, and how." That makes no reference to emotions, as Brother D said, or anything that's non-political. As the great political science said, we have no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interests. And it matters who you are in this matrix in how you plug into the White House. So if I'm a mayor, I got these concerns, so I plug in this way. If I'm a pastor, I might plug in this way. If I'm a common citizen with no responsibilities of anybody outside of myself, I can have all kinds of opinions and plug in and opine that way. So I just call for us to be a little bit more sophisticated in how we share our opinions on this issue and look at who's communicating and for what purpose. Just like the brother said with schools, the foundation out of D.C. I used to work for, we used to say education for whom and for what purpose. So don't assume that because an educational initiative is launched that it's good for the community. That's been one of the best ways to do philanthropy in some cases that didn't equate to anything because it doesn't equate to empowerment all the time. Sometimes it's just a way to say you shut people up when you say, well, I gave to a school. Oh, okay. Even though I still salute the effort, don't get me wrong. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a good point he made.
Yeah. Doc, you got anything you want to touch on?
I think, like everybody has kind of alluded to, that we pay too much, we use too much of our emotion to make decisions when it comes to those that affect our community and affect others around us. And so while I'm not a fan of Trump politics, I can understand why people have voted for him, number one. And I can understand some of the issues that we have as far as there are some issues with the Affordable Care Act that do affect those who are self-employed, such as myself. And so which makes it harder for me to be able to save money, makes it harder for me to be able to go to the doctor without paying an arm and a leg. And so that's number one. Number two, as far as the politics are concerned, for me, am I concerned with our federal legislation, our federal regulations? I am. But the policies that affect me directly for me living in the state of North Carolina happens in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so while I understand that our president has some power when it comes to certain legislation, like we still have a Congress, we still have a House of Representatives, we still have those people that are in our own state legislators that have voting power as well. So if we, you know, we could complain about Trump doing whatever, saying whatever all day, but we haven't made any strides toward having some type of solution. Like when we highlight all the, we constantly highlight everything that he does in the news. Like it's very tiresome for me because if you're going to highlight some of the things that he's done and what he hasn't done, like I can understand why the president is on defense every single time. And that's with any president. When you're constantly being ridiculed about every single thing that you do and you never, nobody ever highlights some of the good stuff that you're doing, that you're always going to be in the defense. Now, with Trump, it's a different thing where he used Twitter as his outlet. But, again, I'm more concerned with state legislators and the things that happen in my county, in my community, and stuff that directly affects me, because there's some control that the state has over, especially when it comes to schools. When we talked about, that's why it was very impressive for LeBron to speak with the school board of Akron and not create another charter school, but create a public school where all the state funding can go to the public school. So the more charter schools we have, the less funding comes to those public schools that have been in existence for years. And so taking away those resources from those public schools and then adding it to the charter schools that people develop because they want a specific area. And I mean, I understand, you know, I'm a parent. I want my child to go to the best school. I want my child to be able to be challenged at whatever school. I want her to have good teachers. I want her to have good administrators. So,
yeah, true.
That's my
good, good thought. Good thoughts. Brother D, I know you want to get back.
I want to go back and address one of the things that he said about the Affordable Care Act, because what we have a tendency to do when policies are erased, and just so you'll know, I've consulted with small businesses for 9 years as a marketing exec, showing them exactly how to have impact and how to increase their income, not decrease it. And I know there's a lot of overhead that you guys have to consider when you're having to pay workers and you get forced to pay for their insurance and so on and so forth. But there's a lot of things that get missed in that conversation, which is one of the things that I've always said in a negotiation. Nobody wins in a negotiation. There is no winner in a negotiation. There's going to be some sides that lose. Each side is going to lose something that they want. And the only true loser is the person who gives up everything to just get it done. And in through this administration, and I'll even admit, even through the Obama administration, the people on the lower end tier of the middle class and the lower class are the ones who lost because of things like the Affordable Care Act. Because what people missed about health insurance, and that's kind of where I started in terms of my sales career years ago, was in health insurance, is that when people go to the emergency room and they don't pay that bill, that hospital writes that off. And guess who pays for it through taxes? The American people. So there was no win by saying that people need to go to not single payer, but people need to go to being their own individual payers and buy their own insurance, because there's no true winner. There are people who can't afford that on a day-to-day basis, and people who are in those lower tiers of our society get missed. And I agree with you in that respect. That's a large part of the reason why Donald Trump won, is because there were white people on the lower end tier society who felt like they were forgotten in all of this. And we saw kind of a backlash through his presidency.
That's true.
And so you can understand where I'm coming from with my opinion. It has nothing to do with Republican, Democrat. It has nothing to do with conservative, liberal. It has everything to do with Donald Trump. This was the wrong guy. I was okay with anybody they tried it out, except for this one. And so you can understand, I was not afraid of a John McCain presidency. I was not afraid of a Mitt Romney presidency. This one scares me because he's incited a part of the base that has been covert for years, and it is now overt because we have an overt bigot in the White House, and that has to be acknowledged. And we can't hide behind the differences in policy with this person particularly. And I don't particularly care about his personal issues. That's between him and his wife to sort out. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But when we start talking about what we're looking at here in reference to Donald Trump and why these black pastors, going back to the issue itself, received the scrutiny that they did, it's not because they went to support a Republican. And I have friends that are Republicans. We are dear friends. You're speaking with three of my dear friends now. Some of them are, none of them are, but some of them are, and we still always be. They're still like family. That doesn't matter to me. That's some different. Mm-hmm. That's more difference of opinion. But what we're talking about here, the man who's shown no moral compass, and for the conservative base to fall behind that guy, that says overtly that we don't care what he does as long as you don't get what you want. And that is the problem I have with President Trump. And I'll let you respond, because we really do enjoy the fact that you called in to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And
real quick before you go, what's your name again, sir?
My name is Pianki. P-I-A-N-K-I.
All right,
yeah.
Pianki, brother Pianki.
I attended the, you know, Granite City, Illinois. U.S. Steel reopened two steel plants there, and they did it with a decision of the tax reform. They was leaning on it because of the terrorists. No, I'm sorry, because of the terrorists. They was leaning on doing it because of tax reform, but the terrorists, and you can read the newspapers where they come out and admit, it's the terrorists that kicked us over. You got blacks in East St. Louis that's working at those steel mills, so they are benefiting from that. There's been over 50, and I have identified the companies that have started in the United States because of terrorists and tax reform. In Nashville, you got a Chinese tire company that's hiring over 1,800. In South Carolina, in Hanover, you got another tire company that's starting people off at $56,450. You got a steel mill up in Indiana starting people at $30.10 an hour. You got furniture, textiles, you got milk processing. You got all these businesses that's opening up because of the fact that the tax rate for corporation is lower, which is good for new startups because they're able to save more money and put back into their business. And also they're able to expense their investments a lot faster than you could before. Another thing, what's hurting, I think this is something that black should be put more emphasis on. We know that the major producers of income at college sports is basketball and football. You got a predominance of blacks on the field and on the courts. But when you look at the other areas that make it possible for those sports to be carried out, like audiovisual, like marketing, sports medicine, and landscaping, concessions, you don't see no black faces. So there needs to be some concentration in putting our people in those areas. Professional athletes can make that call when time comes up for them to do their renegotiations. And one other thing, I wish some of these professional athletes, like LeBron James, would pay some money back to all the families that had to get their kids up on Saturday, had to pay money for travel expenses and paying for them to go on these elite teams in order to provide LeBron James the competition that he needed to become who he is. Look at all the thousands of kids that did not even get to the elevation that he is. But those parents still had to do what they did in order to make sure that he had that type of competition to help develop him into what he became. They are forgotten.
I agree.
And we know.
I agree with
and
that.
And I train baseball players. I train baseball players, you know, as a sideline. And we can't get black kids to come out and play baseball. Look at the money that you're leaving on the table. Just look at the money. You got white players that's playing on your historical black colleges and universities baseball teams.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to put that out there.
No, I agree with that.
We're going to have to get you in line. And since you train baseball, coach baseball with the Metropolitan Junior Baseball League, which is geared towards inner city youth, getting our youth back into playing the game.
That's RBI.
Tournament. Yeah, we just had our tournament in Greensboro, North Carolina, a couple weeks ago, and Brother Mateo and I can get you. He's on the board of directors, so we'll have to get your information.
Well, I got a grandson that played with the LSU. He's a senior year of engineering down there.
Okay.
He's got a couple more years because he's double major, but he played with LSU.
So I'm glad to know you, Coach.
That's great.
So we'll get some information on that, Brother McKee. But go ahead, Brother D. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I wanted to speak on what he just said because there's as a Free and I both played basketball in high school, and as a parent of an AAU basketball player, my goal, and I've said it more than enough times to him, so every parent's goal isn't to get their child to the next level. I want him to be able to develop and understand the idea of competition. So when he does get into the free world and the free market, he has the work ethic. Basketball primarily is used for a tool for a lot of people and not necessarily to try to get your kid to the next level to line their pockets. My child has a college fund. So one way or another, we're going to try to make sure he doesn't have any kind of college or student loans that he'll have to pay back. Because my wife and I know exactly how difficult that is.
And I think there are other people that can
identify that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just said the key thing. My wife and I. Your son, you got a daughter? Let's say you do. Your daughter know what to look for in a husband because she has seen it worked out between a mother and a father. She don't have to turn to Oprah and Dr. Phil. You understand what I'm saying? So that is a key component that you've got there. What you're doing is a key component. And it should be, see, people like yourself, and I'm not down on anything else, but you don't get the commemoration that you should, that you deserve, for being able to combine, put all your differences aside, and concentrate on that child.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
And while you say that, at the same time, I identify with LeBron James because I come from a background much closer than his, that to his, than anything else. And I didn't have that growing up. So my kids have that, and it doesn't mean, because everybody's situation is different, and this is a conversation for a whole nother show, but my mother's situation and my situation, how it worked out, is very different than what people would acknowledge, and it doesn't fit under the realm of the stereotypical black male ideology that people have within our society and how that worked out. But everybody has a story, and they change from person to person. And what I would like for all of us to do, not just here, but throughout America and anybody listening, is take a minute to understand that everybody's situation is different, and the way that certain people move and react to things are going to be different, and everybody doesn't necessarily make the best decisions. And sometimes that has absolutely nothing to do with the influences that are there within the household. That influence can come from anywhere. And what I appreciate about LeBron James is he recognizes that, and he does things to make himself an influence to people who don't have that influence in their home. Because I can tell you, a lot of my influence came from outside of my home. They came with inside of the family. They came from outside of the home. So my idea of what a father is came more so from my uncle, because my father drove trucks. And he was gone a lot. So he didn't give a lot, but I understand that and don't judge him for it. So we have to look at that and say, all right, just because some people don't have these things, there are other ways they can do it. And I appreciate LeBron for being able to step out there and say, hey, I'll take that reign. And that's why I say, particularly between him and Michael Jordan never had the awareness enough to think that far ahead, and LeBron James does, and I think it has a lot to do with their difference in perception of family because of their background.
Well, they all done some good things. LeBron James doing good things business-wise. Shaquille O'Neal is doing good things business-wise. The other brother, Garnett, I believe it is, that made the talk so well about his mother. They all have done a good thing.
Jalen Rose.
Good thing, yeah. Business minded. That's what we need. More business minded athletes, and that's what we're seeing in those. They can be put out there as a model, and we should.
And
you know,
I'm
gonna tell you
something
else real quick. Real quick. I come from old school. See, I was taught who not to mess with. You understand what I'm saying? I was taught who not to date. I taught my daughter who not to date. I taught my grandson who not to date. And we don't do that no more, because we see how some of these athletes, for instance, like the running back for the Dallas Cowboys. I can't think of his name. I know his father, Brother Stacy.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Brother Stacy and his mother taught him what not to do, but he was hard-headed and got out there and did it anyway. So he gets punished. So that's something that's missing out of the equation also. Now, I'm not downing anybody for what they do, but you can't down me for what I was taught and what I teach my kids, which I think is best for them once they get grown, they on their own.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely.
True. And I think what's big about that is Pinaki, and the beautiful part about what makes this the hottest conversation in America today is because of something Pinaki said. And it's great to hear people from other regions of the country weigh in on the local issues of their area. And there's this whole thing now about the flyover states in these elections, which is, we wouldn't put St. Louis in categorize it as a flyover state, because it's a major point in the American pantheon of locations. But it's just great to hear that perspective. You said something very important when you referenced Brother D's marriage. And, you know, one of the things I do in addition to education is mediation, which is education too. And you said that their ability, and this goes to the core of business or any successful organization, their ability to see past their differences for the sake of those children, whether it's government officials, whether it's educational leaders, business leaders, or people running a podcast talk show, you will be measured by your ability to not fall out. And when we talk about initiatives and ideas, so many of them fail because we fall out. So I just wanted to highlight that and shout out to any brother and sister out there that's making it work. And divorcees who have learned from the experience to become better for the kids and for themselves, because you can learn through failure too. But you got to humble yourself and amputate your ego to do that. But I just wanted to highlight that. I thought that was
true.
Really
true that.
Well, this is what.
Well, look,
fellas,
I got to go. I got to get a player to the batting cage.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, appreciate it, brother. Hey, call back. Stay in touch with us, man. You know, we're on Facebook, everything, social media, and UUpRadio@gmail.com. You know, any thoughts or whatever, man, we appreciate you coming.
Yeah, I'll come
here,
back,
man.
And you know, I don't like to get into no arguments because, like I said before, we come, you know, on a bicycle wheel. You got the axle. But look at all the spokes that run out to the perimeter of that wheel. I'm just one of those spokes that ran out to the perimeter wheel, and I'm coming back to the center and share with you my experiences. All our experiences and environments that we came up in is different. And we should be open because we can learn from those differences. But anyway, you guys go ahead and carry on. I really appreciate
the
conversation.
Thank you, brother.
Today one
thank
of the
you.
Folks spoke, and we appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Thank
you, brother.
We really
thank you. Well, we're
calling in.
We appreciate that. Yeah. We're going to, D, if you got a little break, we'll do that, and then we'll get some final thoughts and wrap it on up.
Yeah, we just going to. Absolutely.
Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the back in the days on the back in the back in the back bar, back bar. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. Back in the days on the boulevard, I landed. We used to kick machines and the presence was fitting.
Man, no bringing it. But just final thoughts before we get on out of here. We went a little over, but it was powerful. I think it was commentary we needed for all. So, Lady of the House, Dr. Nyasia Douglas, any final thoughts on just everything or anything you want to highlight before we get off? You up?
Just want to say, if we can all keep an open mind and then understand that, you know, all black people aren't created the same, but we do experience the same plight. So just embrace other people's differences and other people's opinions, and we could learn from each other. Again, because I learned something today. I wanted to say when he mentioned, you know, we need more people in sports management, black people in sports, I mean, sports medicine and all these. I wanted to say something about that because that's my background. Undergrad is in sports medicine. And the reason why I didn't pursue that particular field was because of the income that you receive. You have to get to a certain level in order to receive, to me, a livable income. But and you're gone all the time. But that's that. But just final thought is just embrace people's differences and listen and not get so emotional when somebody has a difference of opinion. So shout out to the kids going back to school.
Yes. Brother McKee, got any final thoughts? Anything you want to lift up? You up?
Just a couple things. I just want to say, just be careful when you cross that bridge. You're going to be messing with the St. Louis ticks. Shout out to St. Louis and the state of Missouri. Represent. You in the U Up family now. And big shout out, we will be bringing J.C. Polk on with the Media Star segment. I probably dropped the ball on that somewhere, but look out for that. Hey, great production, D. Great officiating, Ben. I'm feeling appreciated with great commentary, Doc. See you next week.
All right, Brother D.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen. That shows the growth of the show that we have people all the way in St. Louis. Nobody, for the people who are listening, we don't know him. so the show
no,
got picked up. This is not somebody we
do
know.
Do not know him.
I was in St. Louis for 2 days. I didn't meet anybody well enough to tell me, and that was 7 years ago. I didn't meet anybody well enough to tell them, hey, look, we're going to be doing the show. This wasn't even out there, but it was good. And if you learned anything today, you are more than welcome to hit us up on social media, maybe hit us up on the show, because we're open to difference in opinion. And there was a difference in opinion there, and it was good to have the dialogue without the emotion, because he did not have the emotion. And I respect his opinion. It doesn't necessarily mean I agree with it all, but that's how conversations should go. Is you can push the agree or disagree aside and at least understand. And at least at very little, I understand him from that perspective. He voted differently than my uncle, but he has a lot of the same perspectives on this issue that an uncle of mine does as a business owner. So I completely understand where he's coming from, but I'm glad he called in, man. This was a great show.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Brother D. And I just want to say, you know, it opened my eyes. A brother named Tiaki voted for Trump. But anyway, you know, had to have a little comedic point there. But as everybody pointed out, it is commentary that we needed. He was respectful. We were respectful. And it shows a dialogue. A lot of times we get caught up into that emotion, and then we defriending people. Or we can't. Like, we lose relationships over.
Yeah.
And I respect that brother because he came on and expressed and brought points. You know, whether we agree or not, you have to listen. And Brother McKee stresses that with the mediation. Sometimes it's just about being heard. And now I can think differently about some things, whether I agree, but it opens my mind to explore it more and try to get an understanding of where that perspective is coming from. You know, so on that, I want to say shout out to Richard B. Freak. Nah, let me stop. I'm not going to go there. but I do want to.
You better get on, Richard. People coming for your spot.
They coming for your spot, Richard.
We ain't forgot about you.
I want to say this last note before I sign off, so I'll get on the soliloquy, even though I can't spell soliloquy. But also, notice.
I was about to say spell it.
I know. He said, daughter and grandson. And he said, 40 years in construction. So this was an older gentleman, just to show the demographics that are in tune. So, I mean, that's common. Like D said, we don't know him. But just to have a gentleman seasoned like he is to come on the platform and speak, it just shows the connection we can through generations. So I want to keep that in mind as we move forward. But shout out
Absolutely.
To the crew. Thank you for the listeners. Midwest, hopefully we can get out there soon. But on that note, you up ready?
The soliloquy is spelled S-O-L-I-L-O-Q-U-I. I didn't have to Google it. I just won a lot of spelling bees.
Thank you. Well,
on that note, hey, spelling D. That's your new name.
Spelling
D. I hear you.
You Up Radio, we thank you.
That's funny.
And have a wonderful Saturday and weekend. We up out of here.